Well, this morning's lesson from Matthew 5 follows directly on the heels of the Beatitudes, those statements in which Jesus lifts up those who are blessed by God. Not those who will be blessed at some point in the future, but who are blessed in the present moment. And those include the poor in spirit, and those who mourn, and the meek, and those who make peace, and those who are persecuted for God's sake. In sharing these statements, Jesus is telling us something about the kingdom of heaven and who is receiving God's attention. The passages that will follow today's lesson have to do with a series of ethical teachings which give some shape and form to what life in the kingdom of heaven, which is here, now, what that life should look like. So today's verses are a bridge. Not a transition, because a transition would diminish their importance and impact, but a bridge that can help us understand how we connect that list of priorities that God has lifted up with how life should be lived. And there's a statement right here to the people of God about what the Lord seeks. Now, the passage culminates with Jesus making a statement that Christians really need to hear. And that is that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. A verse that the church has unfortunately all too often ignored or forgotten during its 2,000-year history. Leading up to this statement, Jesus offers a couple of illustrations about the people of God and what they should be like. So we hear how they're meant to be a light unto the nations, and we're not supposed to hide that light. But by conducting ourselves in a certain way, then we can tell people what God intends for his creation. And we also have the wonderful illustration of salt. Now, salt of the earth is one of those phrases we all know. And some people may even recognize that it comes right from Matthew. Now, when we hear that term, we think of people who are solid and steady and dependable and reliable, the rocks of a community. We all want to be the salt of the earth. But did you listen carefully to the reading this morning? There's a lot expected from the salt of the earth. If we go bad, we get tossed. There's no need to keep us around. Now, during the children's moment, we spent a couple of moments with a salt shaker. And for us, salt is ubiquitous. It's a cheap commodity. We can go over to the village market and buy some. And if we don't like the selection that they have on offer, we can go to Price Chopper, or we can go to Hannaford's, or we can go to the co-op. We can buy Morton salt, or we can go get some fancy gourmet sea salt. Lots of options for us, and all pretty affordable. We use salt to season our food. Perhaps you've grilled a steak and you put some cracked pepper and a little bit of salt on it to bring out some of the flavors. Or perhaps you have indeed ignored your doctor's admonitions and you've gone through the drive-thru at one of the fast food joints on 12A and you've picked up a large order of fries and you've dumped a bunch of salt on it. But for us, salt's a nice add-on. But for much of history, salt served a far more basic purpose. It was a critical preservative. Think about the great sea voyages, and what did the sailors eat? Salt pork. Throughout history, salt has been seen as a vital and valuable commodity. There have been times in history when people have been paid with salt. So in Jesus' day, salt was something that was needed to preserve food. And that was throughout the ancient world. It wasn't just in the Jewish communities in which Jesus lived and traveled. It's all throughout the Roman world. Everybody would have gotten the message. Salt is important. And just as salt preserves food, The faithful are meant to be the salt of the earth, who through their lives are helping to preserve God's kingdom. Now, how do you go about doing that? Well, we heard the reading from Isaiah, which talks about doing justice and caring for the poor and building up the community. And that, of course, was Jesus' Bible. No New Testament for him. But we also know that worship is part of preserving the creation. Gathering together and singing God's praises and pointing our hearts and the attention of the community at the one who has made everything. Now, if you read this text in the Greek, you will see that the you is plural. It's directed at a community. But communities are made up of a bunch of individuals. And so I think that you, while it is important for us to hear what Scripture is saying for the gathered body of Christ, we also need to think about this for each of us. How can we individually be the salt of the earth? How can we use salt in the modern sense as something that spices up life? And how can we use it in that ancient sense of something that preserves? Well, we can engage in a discipline of reflection. And we can ask ourselves about what we're doing with our time. We can think about the way we volunteer, and the way we pray, and the way we reflect, and the way we study. And we can ask ourselves, have these vocational activities gone stale? Is it time, perhaps, to toss some of them out, or at least find a way to refresh them? So let's think about worship. And no, this is not some agenda I have to change up everything, so you can relax. But think about worship, right? We do the same thing every week. Now, yes, we change the psalm we read, we change some of the prayers, but the liturgy follows a set format. So one of the things we can do individually is rededicate ourselves to paying attention to what we're saying and to the words that we are singing, and not just to go through the motions. As a community, we can sing new hymns. I love Isaac Watts, but the ability to write hymns did not die with him. So we can sing new hymns. Perhaps people here read the Bible at home. Go get another translation. And go back over some of the texts that speak to you and see how they're rendered differently. And maybe you'll gain a new insight. And if you're not reading the Bible at home, start. And if you can't afford a Bible or don't have the time to go to the store, come see me. We've got lots of Bibles here. And I'll be happy to send you home with one. But read the Bible. Adopt a prayer discipline. Or change the one you have. We have booklets you can use. You can come up with your own prayer. You can just sit quietly. But this can refresh and renew your prayer life. We are called to do all of these things, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout the week. Because, of course, you can't just preserve food for a couple of hours over a seven-day period and expect it to stay good, right? It's got to be preserved all the time. So we need to be the salt of the earth every day of the week. And we need to have our faith lives shape everything we do. And when we do that, we are helping to preserve God's kingdom. And then we become that light that shines on the world and lets people know what it means to be part of God's faithful gathered body. One thing I would encourage you to do, and this is not because I don't like seeing each and every one of you here every Sunday, but I'll give you a sort of a worship get out of jail free card. Or maybe better we should think of it as free parking. But take a Sunday and go worship somewhere else. Just don't go to another congregational church where they're going to pretty much do the same thing we do. But go to St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Hanover. Or better yet, get in your car and drive down to Claremont and go to one of the Orthodox churches and experience worship in a complete and new and different way. And you might experience something you've never experienced before. And you may also gain a new appreciation for what we do here each week. I had the opportunity a week ago yesterday to go to the Orthodox Vespers that were held at the Hop at Dartmouth. And three Orthodox churches in the Upper Valley came together to offer the service. And it was wonderful. I experience worship in a particular way just about every week except when I'm on vacation. And that is wearing a stole and a robe and leading prayers and preaching. And it was great to be at worship in a different way. And then to be in a completely different kind of worship. Because I didn't have to say anything during that service. It was the priests reading the prayers and chanting them. It was their choir singing the antiphons and the anthems. And I was able to look at the icon and I was able to listen. And my worship was refreshed. One easy thing we can all do, many of us, I suspect, say the Lord's Prayer at home as one of our prayers each day. The odds are you're probably saying it the same way every single day. And you might be saying it the same way every day for years and decades. I've been here just about 7 years, and I've got to tell you, I still find saying the Lord's Prayer here a little jarring. Because I come from a trespasses background. Yes. And this is a dense church. And I know I've messed around with some stuff since I came here, but I wasn't going near the Lord's Prayer. That's part of this church's tradition. And that's a good thing. But I invite people, if you do say debts at home when you say the Lord's Prayer, sometimes say trespasses. Sometimes say sins and think about those words and what they mean. And that's a way of keeping the salt fresh. Now, in a few moments, we are going to gather for communion. And our tradition is to celebrate communion by intention when we gather in the sanctuary, but we've been celebrating it by distribution when we gather here in the parish hall. And this gives us an opportunity to experience communion in a different way. You can have the bread in a different way and the cup in a different way. And I invite you this morning, and each Sunday we do communion, to try to look at these elements with fresh eyes. To try to discern something new about what's going on when you share in this meal with one another. We are very fortunate that we all have access to a kitchen of faith. And that kitchen has lots of cupboards. And in those cupboards are all sorts of implements and tools and foods that can nourish and sustain our religious lives. It's easy to go for the staples, to go for the white bread and the comfort foods. But sometimes we need to try something different. We need to go find the sriracha sauce and spice the stuff up. And sometimes we need to go find our spiritual vegetables. You've got to eat those carrots and peas because they're going to keep us strong. And we do that through our reading of Scripture and coming together in prayer and then thinking about how we're then sent out in the world to serve God. But we shouldn't lose sight of some basic things like the salt that help us preserve and to maintain and to spice up a little bit our faith walk. So next time you look at the salt, I hope you don't just see this familiar, ubiquitous condiment, But you see this as a sacred season. Something that can help you and help others better experience the holiness and the beauty and the grace of God's creation.